The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, so when you came in this morning, you probably saw me scurrying around like a little rabbit, placing some colored paper into the pews and some colored pencils. And obviously, you don't have to use colored pencils. And I have a little activity because we're going to talk about joy and happiness and the difference of joy and happiness. And so if you'll humor me just a little bit, my teacher heart wants you to do a little activity while we're talking about those two components. And so on one side of the paper, and if you have a ribbon, share it with your neighbor, that's totally okay. On one side of the paper, I want you to write, as I'm talking, maybe a moment or two that caused happiness. So something that brought you excitement, something that was good news. Now, on the back of that paper, I want you to write something that you feel brought you joy. Right? And so I want you to approach this from a capacity that maybe you think joy and happiness are the same thing. So something that brought happiness, a vacation, maybe a new car, maybe you got the horse you wanted, hint, hint. And something that brought you joy, and the birth of a grandchild, a debt being paid, being at worship. So just kind of think of those two capacities. Happiness, one or two items. Joy, one or two items. Okay? So we're going to get started. Are you ready? And I'll tell you, I brought paper today because I'm blind as a bat, even with my bifocals. And I kept losing my place last week, which for somebody who has anxiety, causes a lot of stress. Are you ready? Okay. So we're going to focus on that Philippian scripture. And we are going to talk about joy and happiness. So today we're going to gather around the truth that speaks deeply to every human heart in this room. The longing for happiness. Every person, in one way or another, seeks it. So we all want happiness, right? We don't really appreciate when we're unhappy and we're having hardship. We search for happiness in our families, in our accomplishments, in our relationships, and in our dreams of the future. We cherish moments that bring us laughter, they bring us peace, and most certainly when they bring us celebration. Your life continually reminds us that we have happiness, right? So when we're moving through our day, things bring us what we consider joy, but there's a difference. Happiness can fade with one difficult conversation. It can disappear in seasons of disappointment, in seasons of grief, and even uncertainty. What once felt comfortable can suddenly feel fragile and temporary. The world often treats happiness as interchangeable. It's not. Scripture points us to something far greater than happiness. It points us to joy. Happiness is rooted in circumstances. Joy is rooted in Jesus. Happiness is shaped by what's happening around us. Joy is sustained by the presence of God within our hearts. Philippians 4:4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. That's not positive thinking. That's our roadmap to biblical living. Happiness is often tied to external conditions. We naturally feel happy when our relationships are thriving, our prayers are being answered quickly, our finances are stable, and we're healthy. There's nothing wrong with happiness. In fact, Scripture is filled with moments of rejoicing and celebration. However, happiness was never intended to carry the full weight of our human souls. Why do you think that is? Because our circumstances are always shifting, evolving, and changing. One season in our life may bring celebration, while another brings deep sorrow. If our peace depends entirely on favorable conditions, then our spiritual stability will always remain vulnerable. This is why we feel exhausted and restless. We've placed our eternal expectations and hope in worldly things. Joy is different. Joy remains steady when our circumstances are uncertain. In John 15:11, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The power of this statement is found not only in the words themselves, but the fact that Christ chooses to speak them in preparation for his departure. He's approaching the cross, betrayal's near, suffering is coming, yet even in the shadow of immense pain, Jesus speaks of everlasting joy. Because biblical joy is not dependent upon our comfort. It's dependent upon our communion with God. Joy doesn't pretend suffering is insignificant. Rather, joy is a settled assurance that God remains faithful in the midst of our suffering. That's a hard one to grasp. Scripture assures us that sorrow never has the final word. Psalms 35 says, "His anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Having biblical joy allows us to understand that God is good in every season. God is present in our pain. God is faithful in our waiting. And God is still working even when we can't see it. So I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony as it relates to joy and happiness. 22 years ago, my mother became very sick. And the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She looked like she had tuberculosis. She had very large lesions growing in her lungs. And they couldn't figure out what to do. Well, it turned out she had a bacteria that's rare and it's related to pigeons. It's naturally occurring in soil and water. Most people breathe it in, drink it, and they are able to expel it out. But my mom had autoimmune disease and some other things, and she was not able to work that out of her system. So in that, we spent a few years with surgeries, lung resections, trying to keep her alive. I was in the midst of a brand new marriage. I was struggling with infertility, going through infertility treatments. I was in school full-time for my bachelor's degree. I was working 50-plus hours a week at a human services early childhood place, Head Start, early Head Start. Some of you may know that. I worked in the central office, so I was putting in a lot of hours, and I was trying to take care of my mom. She moved in with me. I was trained on running her central line. I was trained on giving her her feeding tube. I was trained on administering all of her medications. And when she came home from Denver, because that was the only place she could have the surgery to try to save her, I packed her wounds. And so she was open and flayed like a shark bite. Because what happens, and some of you, if you're nurses in the room, will know this very, very well, when you have a surgery but then get an infection and they have to reopen you up, they cannot close you back. Okay? So she came home about a year after her surgery when they felt they could do no more for her, and she moved in with me, and I learned how to do all these things. So the struggle was keeping her alive. She was in and out of the hospital. We had been going to church together, been baptized together. She reinstated her faith. I had been baptized for the first time. Then she got very, very sick, and we were going through the ins and outs of ICUs, long nights, and nursing care. So circle forward a couple years, right? And in that, sometimes it's hard to find time to be seated in joy, right? Because we can't see it. We're in the midst of hardship. We're in the midst of lack of understanding. And we are in the midst of not having our prayers answered to the capacity we think they should be. Okay? So I'm going through this, and I'm also in college, and she's struggling. And to top it all off, towards the end of her life, my twins will be 20 this year. She'll be gone 21 years. She died a month before I got pregnant with my twins. Towards the end of her life, she had fallen. And I was in the middle of class. And at that time, my dad had also gotten sick. He had been on a ventilator for several months. And he had also come from California to move in with my new husband and myself. So I had both parents in my house, and we were doing the best we could with what we had. So long story short, she falls. I get a message from my dad. He calls me in a panic. Your mom has fallen. I'm not sure what to do. I need you to come home. So come home, get her loaded in the ambulance, get her to the hospital, and we find she's now broken her pelvis. Mm-hmm. So she's broke her pelvis, and she's still struggling with her lungs, and she was already in a frail state. So we had two choices. We could do the surgery, keep her completely awake, and give her a blocker, like you would when you're having a C-section, because she could no longer go under anesthesia. She couldn't withstand it. She would pass on the table. She didn't have the air capacity. So we talked to her about it. She wanted to try. So we put her through the surgery, and she came out of it, and she did okay, but then she had to be placed in a long-term care facility, okay? So I'm praying. I'm in school. I'm going to a Southern Baptist college, doing all the things, and I have a really great support group. But I'm angry, right? I'm angry she's not getting better. I'm angry with my team of prayer warriors. I'm angry with my faith. I am angry with God. I am angry with everybody who is around me. So, lo and behold, she survives 5 days. Okay? I get a call 2:00 in the morning from the hospital that they found her unresponsive. I don't allow them to call it at the nursing home. I request that they call it at the hospital. I wanted them to try. And so at the hospital, doctors come out. There's nothing more they can do. We let her go. Okay? So a funny thing happens when people pass and you're in that shock moment of grief. Okay? It's hard to accept the reality of what stands before you, right? So we go through those motions, we go through the funeral, we move through that. I think I'm doing okay. Okay, I think I'm doing all right. Well, I find a few weeks in, I'm not recovering from this. I'm seated in it, and I can't move through it. So I start praying with a friend of mine who has a really great faith, and I keep saying to her, her name's Kelly, she wouldn't mind me sharing her name. And I keep saying, Kelly, I don't understand why God doesn't answer my prayers. I'm faithful, I've been praying. I'm reading the Bible. I don't understand. You know, I'm just really angry. I'm really angry that we did all this stuff. She wanted to live, and she died anyway. So my friend, who, God love her, she's a great mentor, looks at me patiently, quietly, for about 10 minutes of silence as I just sit there and I weep. And she said, can I tell you something in love without you being reactive? Because we all know in those situations we can be a bit... reactive. And I said, yeah, go ahead. And she said, you were praying for healing, right? And I said, well, yeah. And she said, and you were praying for her to move through this and to be comfortable and be restored to who she used to be, correct? And I said, absolutely. That's exactly what I was praying for. And she said, he answered your prayer. Think of that for a minute. He healed her. She wasn't hurting anymore. She could breathe. My mother had always been active. She was in a wheelchair on oxygen. She wasn't sick anymore. The brokenness wasn't from my mother. It was from me. I was broken. She wasn't. She was healed. He answered everything I asked. I just was so broken and so angry. I couldn't see it. So circle around that story and I say, well, that makes perfect sense, Kelly, right? And I leave there and I think I'm through it. I think to myself, you know, Stacy, that makes perfect sense right now. But I get home and my house is quiet. And I get home and I can't get pregnant. And I get home and my husband's traveling with the railroad. And I'm just going to say it. It's a bad word, guys. I'm still really pissed off. And I find myself in my kitchen I wasn't cleaning on a dirty floor, broken. Crying and crying and crying. Raising up my hands to God. And I, as God is my Savior, I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't move through it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to try to get pregnant. I don't know that I want to be married. I don't know that I want to finish school, and I don't want to be here without my mother. And as God is my Savior, and this is my testimony to you as it relates to joy and happiness, Jesus was in that room. There have been only a handful of times I felt Christ in my presence. And I was just talking to Cheryl this morning, I am Peter on so many levels. I am the one who denies my faith. I am the one who sometimes has a potty mouth. I'm the one who has no patience. I get mad. I get angry. I can be type A. I can circle the room and slam my fists on a table. But I know God is in this room. And I know Jesus lives. And I know that because while I was on my knees wanting to be angry for everything he threw my way, he told me to get off the floor. And I know some people look at me like, Stacy, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But I will tell you, it is the truth. I felt him next to me. I felt him talk to me. And I knew immediately. And I was covered in the most immense and tremendous peace I've ever felt before in my life. And I knew in that moment when I grabbed that kitchen counter to lift myself up that he had greater things in store for me. And I know he has greater things in store for you. The point was, I had to submit and surrender. And I had to release the control that I have a tendency to grasp so firmly in my fists that I don't let him lead my life, right? Because we all know we'll throw it out to God, and then an hour later, because we're not getting that quick response, we reel it in like it's on a fishing line, right? We just whip that sucker right back in with the worm still attached. We don't even give him time to work. And so I tell you this testimony because it matters as it relates to joy and to happiness. Am I perfect at it? No. Do I still struggle every single day? Right? So in my brokenness, I found surrender when I let go of control. Because joy is not absence in our hardship. Joy is presence in the hope in the middle of it. Right? We just have to open our eyes to see it. In Nehemiah 8:10, Scripture declares, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." It's important to notice that Scripture does not say happiness is our strength, right? It's joy. Because happiness, as we know on the testimony I just gave you, a little snippet of it, happiness fluctuates with our changing conditions. Grief, illness, financial hardship, uncertainty, disappointment, all of our seasons of waiting. Yet even in moments of hardship, God continues to sustain us through joy. This is why we see people who can worship through tears and continue to have faith. It's because they're seated in joy. That's the source of our spiritual strength. There's perhaps no biblical figure that demonstrates this more strongly than the Apostle Paul. In his letter to Philippians, he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." What makes these words extraordinary is Paul sitting in prison. He's writing them while he's facing persecution, rejection, suffering, hardship. Yet, he continues to flow joy from his spirit. That's because his joy is coming not from what's happening to him, not in his worldly circumstances, because he has Christ deeply seated in his heart. He's anchored to it. Paul understood a truth that most of us, myself included, spend our entire lives searching for. Joy is not found in control. It's in our surrender. So later in that same letter, Paul writes, "I've learned to be content in whatever my circumstances are." That's spiritual maturity. That often takes us a lifetime to learn. The world says, "I have peace when everything finally works out." Have we all been there? I'm going to be happy when A, B, C, D, and E all come to pass. Right? So the world teaches us to pursue happiness above all other things. We're called to strive for more success, more possessions, more recognition, and all the luxuries of comfort that the world has. We covet our neighbors. We covet the world around us. We never quite have enough. We're always striving for more. Yet, countless people who have all of these things have shown us that happiness happens in those things, but spiritual joy doesn't. Many are miserable. And why do you think they're miserable? Because worldly, temporary things will never fulfill our souls. They weren't meant to. We can't take all that nonsense with us, right? Can't take it with us. In Psalm 16:11, David writes, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. Not a little bit of joy, not partial joy, but fullness of joy. True joy is not found in possessions, status, or circumstances. It's found in Jesus. Joy grows through a continual relationship with Christ. In John 15:5, Jesus teaches us that he is the vine and we are the branches. And a vine disconnected cannot flourish. Likewise, believers cannot sustain lasting joy apart from Christ. Joy is cultivated through our gratitude. It's cultivated in our fellowship with one another. It's cultivated when we get our hands dirty and we serve our neighbor. It's cultivated when we pray and in our daily trust of God's presence within our hearts. The more deeply we strive to abide in Christ, the steadier we become. Our life stabilizes. That doesn't mean we're seated in perfection. It means we're seated in humility and triumph. We walk away knowing that Christ himself remains unchanged. We're the paradox and the kaleidoscope in the picture. We're the ones always evolving and changing. But if we're seated in Jesus, if we know his love for us, if we know he's going to pick us up off that dirty floor, we're okay. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult the path, no matter how blind the future is before us, we're going to be okay. And together, in unity, we're going to be even better. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, and thank you for the joy of your presence. When life feels heavy, remind us that joy is not found in our circumstances, but it's found in you. Fill our hearts with peace, hope, and gladness so that we can't be shaken. Teach us to rejoice in every season, in moments of abundance, and in times of waiting. Help us to see your goodness each day and to share your kindness and encouragement and love with everyone around us, even when it's hard. Lord, help us to reflect the joy of you and help us to, regardless of our circumstances, try to understand the difference between happiness and joy, knowing worldly things will not last and are temporary, but a relationship with Jesus is sustaining. Strengthen us when we feel discouraged, renew our spirits with your promises, and replace our anxiety with confidence, our sadness with praise, and our fear with faith. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, did anybody write anything down on those papers? So we'll just do a quick activity before we move on. Can somebody share with me something that they felt brought them really, really, really great happiness and something that brought them tremendous joy? Anybody want to share if they wrote anything down? You don't have to. Difference between joy and what is really being seated in my heart. with Jesus? And what have I been thinking was joy, but it's really a temporary thing, right? Okay, can we, excuse me, I'm choking, have a moment of silence and meditation as we prepare for communion? Would you join me in that?